Well, well, well. Happy New Year, witches. We are here. Me, myself, Blackbird, and my good friend Scarlet are here to start the new year off right with Hex-Rated episode 101. And as a true 101, we are going to tell you about some of our favorite episodes that we have done over the years. And if you're new to the podcast, hopefully you'll go back and listen to a few of these. And if you're a true and tried listener and believer, maybe you'll revisit some. Either way, this was a lot of fun for us, and we hope you enjoy. Thanks again for listening.
Ahoy.
What?
I don't know. I was trying something different.
We on a fucking ship?
It wasn't good.
I liked it.
I ship us. Oh. I ship this podcast.
I ship this ship. I ship it.
I do.
Hang on. I need to get some chocolate. 1 second, please.
Oh, please
Uno,
do.
Momento, por favor. 1 second. Chocolate.
Ooh. Ooh la la.
Hold on. It's a whole cornucopia of chocolate treats.
And we know how much you love cornucopias. You have one on your chest.
I do.
As a tattoo.
I will say, this is like a little, I am a little secret weird squirrel where I take little treats and put them in a little stash in my office because I know I'm going to want them later. And if I don't do that, then they will disparu. They will be gone and I will be sad. So treats. What? What does your shirt say?
It says Sorcia, which is a stoner metal band with a female front woman that I saw at Ripplefest. And the shirt
fucking
rad. It's a bright red goat.
Yes.
In front of a burning house.
Yeah.
So it's
It's
pretty fucking radical looking. And I recommend the band. Otherwise, I would not have bought their really cool looking shirt, even though it's very cool looking.
I probably would have bought that shirt even if the band would not have been recommendable. You know what I mean? That shirt's pretty rad.
Thank
you. Don't
you
have to tell anybody what it means. It's also Ripplefest. What's that?
Oh, did I not talk about Ripplefest? Ripplefest.
That's from a person that doesn't know what the fuck anything is anymore. Tell me.
Oh, it's not a thing that most people would know about. It's a...
Okay,
is it two or it's like a four day music festival at the Far Out Lounge in Austin. It's an outdoor venue that has two stages. So it's really cool. The set times alternate between the stages. So there's never a break between music and you really don't have to move around a whole lot. And
you don't really miss anything because you're at one stage. That's great.
That's correct. And it's in late September, so it's not too hot. And it is like stoner metal and like psychedelic doom and like psychedelic rock type stuff.
Listen, if you're into that, go to this thing. That sounds kind of awesome.
And a friend of the band, a friend of the show... my dear friend Lorena, who lives in Houston, we went to college together, and she is now married to a fellow classmate of ours, and he is in the band Mr. Plow, who is a fairly well-known stoner metal band from Houston. So, and they were on the bill, and I got to see them play, which was how it got on my radar, but there were many other really good bands.
Were you there? Was Lorena there?
Yes, we went and we wore ridiculous little outfits and took pictures with each other and had a grand time.
That sounds amazing.
It was very fun.
Ripplefest. Did not know. Now I know. Wow. So we've had a hiatus. Who are we? I don't even know.
I don't. What? Who even are we? Well, that's a great question, Blackbird, because...
That was not a segue.
Me,
but now
Scarlet,
it is.
As the other member of this podcast, Hex Rated, this is episode 101. So
what?
I thought it would be fun to do sort of a 101 primer introduction to this podcast. If you are somehow new to it or have not started from the very beginning, or have skipped around or any of those things, I thought it might be fun for us to talk about maybe some of our favorite episodes, give people like a kind of guide of things, highlights in case they missed it. Maybe some of our favorite just topics in general. And if we have time, maybe some Q&A with each other about what we're all about. But first, you told me you had a very funny story to tell me, and I don't know if that's podcast related or not.
It is podcast related, but it's not a funny story. It's a funny thing that I decided to buy on a whim. Okay, you know, I like things that are irreverent and silly, as do you sometimes. So I was just perusing. I get a newsletter from like everyone, but I get a newsletter from a company called the Mysterious Package Company.
I got a Mysterious Package, but we haven't played it yet.
Oh, it's so much fun. I have gotten one in the past and totally ruined my poor husband's surprise, but that's okay. That's a time for a different, that's a story for a different time and a time for a different story. So I get this, like, you know, it's not a newsletter. It's a fucking, hey, buy our shit blast. And I was like, all right, well, let's see what they got. Because sometimes they have good sale stuff. And I needed some new, you know, as you do, I need some new travel mugs.
Is it the Lich King tiki mug?
No, I didn't get that. I got the Cthulhu coffee.
Okay, tell me about it.
Coffee mug. But no, that's not the silly thing. I mean, that is silly because it's Cthulhu, but shaped like a Starbucks insignia. So hilarious. Because, you know, death to Starbucks. Except for the union stores. But I bought this thing, and what I'm holding up, I'm showing her, is a...
The arcane like a bullshit! Cool...
Yes! Dude, this is so hilarious.
I got it too, and I haven't actually popped it open because it, was, it came with a bunch of other stuff, and I haven't gotten to it. So tell me. Tell me all the things.
No! Okay, well, I'm starting with my favorite card because it is literally a card that is... I mean, I don't... They called you, right? They called you and were like... Should we make this card? And you were like, abso-fucking-lutely. They made a card that is called, hold on, do-do-do-do, Sex Witch with Octopus.
Yes! Oh my god, did they know?
Do you see this ridiculous card? It is a, like, is literally a sex witch holding it, although it's acting like it's going to knife the octopus, which is not ever going
to
happen.
No, we want to befriend the octopus. Always.
So that's a great card. The other good card, I mean, they're all great because there's like eight kinds of death cards, which is super awesome, but also something called the Super Horny Porno Owl, which is an amazing card. And another one, Madam Rufflebonnet. And it's just a goose and a little
Jemima
bonnet.
It's Jemima Puddle Duck from Beatrix Potter.
This entire deck is hilarious. You will have a great time. I like to use silly things even when I'm divining because why the fuck not? Life is silly and ridiculous. So
honestly,
you might as well. But it's so great.
I think we should do a whole episode. We've talked about it before of... kind of humor in witchcraft and
yes.
tongue-in-cheek stuff and
yes,
having a laugh with it. But honestly, I will say that when we did our magpie lot casting, which is another absurdist game where we threw everything into a mush pile, everybody cleared out their junk drawers or like underneath their car seats or whatever, and we threw it into a mush pile and randomly chose 13 pieces. Why 13? Because it's a spooky number. That's the only reason. And so
we can.
It was shit like keys, bottle caps, old keychains. I got a Cobra Commander.
G.I. Joe dudes.
Yeah, I got a Cobra Commander from G.I. Joe figurine. All kinds of just silly stuff / garbage.
Wine stoppers. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
A chapstick or no, a lip smackers.
Yes. Yep.
So anyway, divvied it up and then we gave each other kind of lot cast readings and it was really great. And here's why, because it was so silly and so absurd and there were no rules that you just kind of had to make up meanings.
Yes.
And I strongly believe that being silly or just doing things as a lark really gives you permission to be more intuitive and more creative than you might otherwise be. Because in normal scenarios, you'd be like, does this make sense? Is this stupid? Am I talking out of my ass? Do I sound like a moron? Blah, blah, blah.
Who cares?
So, but if you're doing it just to be silly, you turn off that voice and you actually come up with really cool, meaningful shit by accident.
And we did.
And
we really did.
I love that you got that, and it reminds me to look at mine, and I can't wait to read with it. Also,
we should do like a mirror reading
where we
do the reading while we do it at the same time. That would be so much fun.
You should also follow Arcane Bullshit on the social medias. I know they're on Facebook, but they just post really absurdist, silly images that are totally amazing, and they have some pretty great merch in addition to the cards. There's a shirt that I really want that says the only bank I trust is the river bank, and it's like a pond with like a stork and a turtle on it. It's hilarious.
Oh my God. It's fantastic. The little book that comes with the cards, hilarious, because it's just like, say, you know, cast your hand over this pile and say some mystical shit. Look up into the sky. You know, it's just like, it's like very tongue-in-cheek, hilarious, good times, Arcane Bullshit. I love it. I'm so excited.
Yes. And if you are at all into esoteric stuff, occult stuff, witchy stuff, divination stuff, it will definitely make you chuckle, because a lot of these things are very much making fun of the seriousness of some of these so-called ancient symbols and meanings and rituals and things. So yes,
well,
big thumbs
up. Well, what's great is you totally somehow dovetailed that into one of our old episodes, which I can't give you the number of it. But if I was going to guess, I bet it's Divination Hoedown, which is...
it is 38, No, wait.
There
that's
you go.
Something else. God damn it.
34.
This is already off
34. That's okay. 34, Divination Hoedown. I think it's in there, but it could be earlier. There's also another one called Divination Kind of Like Therapy, which is earlier, episode 21 to be specific, might be there. I don't know. I would say if you're interested in divination, maybe listen to those episodes, because the magpie thing was really, really fucking cool. And I still have my set and I still use it sometimes.
Yeah, so. I remember. So I had Divination Hoedown as one of my favorites as well, just because thought that's named after, I did a party where I invited people over to do a live Divination Hoedown, where there's literally a Wikipedia list of methods of divination. And so we all just picked one. I've done it twice, and both times it's been really fun. And so everybody just, you know, researched whatever one tickled their fancy and then showed up and taught us how to do it. And then we would do it. And some of them work really well. Some of them do not work well at all, but it's still really fun. I did one where it was basically you make yourself a dowsing rod, or you make yourself sort of a Ouija planchette. And what you do is you write letters of the alphabet or numbers or symbols or whatever you want to do. We did letters of the alphabet in a circle. I did it about, I guess, like 5 feet diameter. And then you get in the middle of the circle, spin around until you get really dizzy, and then stumble around. And the letters that you stumble on are supposed to spell something out. Now, as it turned out, we did not get any meaningful series of letters from this at all, but it was also hilarious and fun. So kind of runs the gamut. And then this other time we did one, and I did wax divination, which I had actually learned about through some trance work with one of my actual ancestors. And it turns out that that is actually a very traditional Slavic Eastern European thing of, you melt hot wax into a bowl of water and it hardens, and you basically read the shape of it and you interpret the shape. So, and some other ones that we've done, we did one where it was like, divination with salt. I know Jay did one that was like divination with arrows, because of course she's the weapons mistress and has crossbows and regular bows and all kinds of things, and so
like
she,
shooting them
so one would be like, you interpret how it falls. So if it like you know, you just shoot it up and let it descend. Like, you're not aiming straight at a target or something.
All right.
And you interpret it based on if it falls, like, straight up or at an angle or which direction and things like that. So anyway, Divination Hoedown was a really good time. I need to go back and listen to that one and remember.
I feel like
the other
that's not where we talk about Magpie. I feel like it's earlier, but either way, like, the Magpie lot is really fun. So if you've got a junk drawer and you've got a friend, I mean, you don't really need a friend, but if you've got a junk drawer, pick out some silly things. And if you have a friend, make them pick out their silly things, throw it in a pile, pick some, and then we totally read with it. It was so much fun. And it was so hard, though, that I remember, because you just scatter these things, and it doesn't have to be all of the things. We just kind of each did our own weird. I remember Lily whispered into her cup, which was fucking cool, and then threw them. And I don't know what I did, like, grabbed my hand inside a bag and threw them. And then we tried to read it, and they all made a weird pattern, and we were able to, like, I don't know, do a real reading out of that. It was so fucking cool.
Yeah, and I think that is one of the things that made me a much stronger tarot reader. I've mentioned it before, but for a really, really long time, I had two decks. One that I got in fifth grade, and then one I think I got a year or two later, both from New Orleans. So, you know, very witchy-bitchy place to get it. You know, I've had those decks since forever. And for a long time, I really couldn't read from other decks. Like, I would shuffle the cards and lay them out, and it just would be stuff that clearly didn't make any sense. It wasn't related to anything. And so I kind of lulled myself into this belief that those were the only decks that quote unquote worked for me. And after we started reading with each other regularly, and I started playing around with these other methods of divination and seeing other people do their, like, Lily casts runes and stuff like that. So that really broke my brain open in a good way. And now I feel like I can read from anything. I mean, if I can read from a pile of stuff from a junk drawer,
or like wax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And right, you can exactly. too.
You can too. It is not a secret to anybody. You can do it as well. Okay. So are we talking about favorite episodes? Are we just talking about whatever the fuck? I don't care.
Both. I wrote down a few episodes that I just thought were really fun, that I enjoyed doing and were interesting.
Yes.
Couple of four episodes after the Divination Hoedown, we did one called Dark Elements. And the idea was, we were trying to think of alternate kind of elements or alternate sorts of, so trying to get outside the box, think of other things. And the one I did was ultraviolet. So, because sometimes light or ether or energy or things can be an element, quintessence sort of things. And so,
Sorry, did you want to talk about light language at this point the story or no?
100% do, but let's put a pin in that.
Stay on topic. Stay on topic. All right.
So we all did something different. And so mine was ultraviolet, black light. And I have, so one of the experiments that I did was I have a bunch of rocks. And so I went and looked at my rocks under a black light, because some of them look really, really different. Some of them fluoresce. Some of them just kind of appear like different colors. Some of them become completely invisible. They just completely absorb the light. So that's fun. I mean, that's just fun. I mean, one, it's cool and rad.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. But it's just a fun meditation. And like, some stones I knew fluoresced, and then some were kind of a surprise. And it really gave me a jumping off point for finding alternate meanings or deeper meanings of some of the uses of those crystals, you know, because there's some rocks that just look like a boring gravel rock. But if they have like, if it's like a granite, some of the elements in the granite will fluoresce. So what looks like just a pebble, nondescript gravel guy, lights up. And so it's got this whole other life to it that you couldn't see with your human eye or with normal sunlight. So and then the other thing I did is I made a little drawing of my girl Ishtar in the style of the Burney relief, which is alternately interpreted as being Ishtar, Inanna, Lilith, or Ereshkigal, who is also my other girl, Ereshkigal. And Ereshkigal and Ishtar are sisters. One is the queen of heaven. One is the queen of the underworld. So they're not necessarily described as twins per se, but they are very mirror image of each other in a lot of ways. And right. So I drew one image of Ishtar that's visible in the light. And then I got UV markers that look, you know, clear. And then, but fluoresce under black light. And so I changed some of the imagery a little bit so that when you put it under black light, it becomes a Ereshkigal.
Oh, neat. Oh, I like that.
So, that's cool. So that kind of fun arts and crafts and stuff. So, yeah. That was a fun one, but I like the idea of kind of pulling together and just trying to think outside the box, and obviously sure. doing the podcast and giving everybody a homework assignment is kind of a great kick in the ass to get that done.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, yeah, so that was a fun one that I liked.
Let's see. I'm going to be a jerk, but talk about my own episode. One of my favorite episodes to talk about myself was my bread and how it's made.
Yes.
And how I relate that to my practice. And that was a really fun one. The sourdough bread journey was a good one. But yes. Something else that I probably talked the most about that I think a lot of people really enjoyed, as did I, was talking about what a death doula actually is and what they do and why they're necessary and how I went to this intensive weekend training to become one and then never did anything. No, I'm just kidding. I've done some things, but not I have to work full time, so I can't really volunteer during the day when they want people to do that, because you're kind of on call. If you're a death doula, like, you are, you know, needing to be with the person as they are dying no matter what time it is. So the day that I can, like, not work at a normal job, I will 100% be doing that. But that was super fun to talk about. I mean, it was.
I remember doing that one because I. Yeah.
You did the questions.
We had kind of like a long hiatus for, I don't really remember exactly why. But, and I interviewed you and I didn't have all my equipment set up or something was going on. So I phoned into you because I think in that episode, my audio is not great. I was basically interviewing you and I was, in my cast iron bathtub, not in the bath, like clothed with no water in it. But I just remember like laying back and like interviewing you. And it was so much fun because I feel like I talk a lot. And so it was nice.
That's kind of a surreal thing for you to like be in the bath and just like, you know, chatting with your friend, but also recording a show.
Yeah. Like, it was very much like, I mean, I think that most of our episodes sound as if it's some friends having a chat, which I hope is appealing and endearing to people. But I mean, that definitely was, because it wasn't like I was in front of a microphone with a screen with a program and like, you know, sound
stuff,
levels,
an outline
going. Yeah. It was really like, I was just on the phone in my bathroom and
thinking of questions,
but I had fun approaching it as an interview. I think a lot of our episodes are kind of more of a back and forth, which is really good too, but it's nice to recognize your friends as experts in the things that they love. So I thought that was a fun one to do as well, and obviously the information was great. So
well, the other amazing series, like an entire series that people loved and I loved and immediately kind of tried to absorb as much information as I could, was our Iceland series.
Oh,
because, I mean, Iceland is so fucking punk rock and so witchy and magical just by itself. Just everything about it is magic. And to hear you talk about your trip and everything that you saw and everything that you did and everything that you felt, and the fucking elves, I mean, it was great and totally inspired me, because I'm going, I don't know when, but I have to go now. like have to.
Well, I'm really glad you felt that way. I ended up having a lot more to say than I thought I would. So I'm glad that the 3-episode long series was not an onerous listen. But also, you know, I was like, I don't really know how this translates to podcasting, because I feel like vacations are a very visual thing. Like, you want to show people pictures and stuff. But
you talked about so much stuff that people can totally go and look up and see pictures of. So, well, because I did that.
But I'm glad that it translated and it was still interesting. And, you know, I went on the trip with not the intention of telling everybody about my trip, but absorbing it as like a witchy sort of pilgrimage in a way, and like really giving myself an opportunity to disconnect from my normal life and from social media and everything. And obviously I took a lot of pictures, but I wasn't posting them live or anything, and just sort of be out of my element in a really surreal landscape and
kind of disconnected too, you know,
like, but approach and try to savor everything in a witchy sort of way, which sounds kind of dorky, but what I mean by that is, you know, be very sensitive to all the input that I'm getting. So how do I how do things smell, how do they taste, what are the sounds like, how does the ground feel, like what is the energy, you know? Am I excited? Am I invigorated? Am I a little scared? Am I exhausted? You know, just really absorbing and savoring all the sensations of,
and like being in your body.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. That's great. That's, you know, I don't know that you ever really said that. So that's really cool that you were really like intentionally trying to do that. That's, I think that's stuff that we take for granted every day. And I usually, if I'm outside and doing something outside, I really do try to be in my body, you know, if that makes sense. Just like feel the earth. And I don't know, that makes a big difference for me. Okay, let's hear another favorite one of yours.
Well, kind of on that same note, I really enjoy doing all of our Pantheacon series. And
yes!
Kind of in the same vein of where we're off in a different place. It's kind of you're in a different world or in an alternate universe for a few days. And it's really intense. You're just inundated with information and feels and things that you thought were great and things that you thought were real dumb. But even the things that were dumb, which we say every time we do it, is even the stuff that I was like, that's not my jam. It's super educational. Like, I'm glad I went. There has never been anything where I was like, ugh, that was like a waste of time, because I still learned like what is appealing to me, or, you know, like what traditions I'm attracted to, or what formats, or what styles of leading a ritual or giving a workshop that I respond to. So there was so even the things I quote unquote didn't like were really valuable experiences. And I think also going into it, knowing that we were going to record it, was really, really good because it's such a blur. It's like when you're in high school and you take the SATs or a really hard test and then like you're done and it's like instant amnesia. So it's so intense. Yeah, there's so much. Sure. Like if we didn't have that documentation of these episodes, there was so many things that I would have just completely forgotten, you know?
And I think that, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
No, I was going to say that I think the first time we went, we recorded after the fact, like we came back home with our notes and recorded. And then I bought this thing that's like a snowball microphone that you can just set up in the room, and thought, well, why don't we just record it? I mean, the thing is, the one thing that I will say is usually we are exhausted by the end of the day at cons like that. So it's hard to be like, okay, shit, we committed to this. We're going to record an episode. But it's also energizing because you want to talk about all the stuff that you just experienced. So it's a really neat way to recap the day in, you know, for us and for you. So super cool. And can we make an announcement now?
Oh, yes.
That we're going to go to Sacred Spaces?
Yes. Yes. I was going to tease it, but you do it.
Yeah. Well, that's the tease. It's outside of Baltimore and it's in late March.
Yeah. End of March.
End of March. And it's called Sacred Spaces. And the lineup looks amazing. I mean, it's a lot of Pantheacon standards, but just some really great workshops. I can't
wait. Yeah, it looks like really intensely well curated and jam-packed, yes, the way that Pantheacon, mm-hmm, is, where you have programming from like 8 or 9 in the morning to like 10 or 11 or past midnight. And like,
it looks more diverse than Pantheacon too.
Yeah.
I'm hoping. But
so,
yeah.
We're really excited about it. And we will, the last Pantheacon was in 2020, right before the pandemic. And Pantheacon is no more. And so we haven't done a con in quite a while, in 4 years. Yeah. So,
right.
I'm excited to do that. And we will be recording from there. But getting back to what you were saying, I also, you know, was trepidatious about forcing ourselves to record every night. But I will say that even when we were exhausted, or I felt like my emotional bucket was
empty.
Talking about it actually was a really great way to decompress and to kind of digest and get ready for bed. Because I think that if I had slept on some of those thoughts and feelings, I would have, I mean, it's like going to bed full, you know, like it just doesn't feel right, you know, and it's so.
I think we were all able to process.
Yes.
Better.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think, yes. Oh, that makes me really want to like go back and listen to them, because I haven't listened to them in a while. So, yeah. So I think we have two sets of Pantheacon, 2019 and 2020.
I think that's right.
But I think you went before that, and we may have talked about it early on, because you went with Lily.
I went with Lily, and I went with my friend Mage the year after.
Okay.
That,
so. Yeah. Right. So I think you all talked about that a little early on, but right. I know for a fact that some of us went, you know, a couple years in a row, and it was a super great experience. Can't wait to do it again at Sacred Spaces. Please check that out, though.
Oh my god. And we'll, the craziest thing was, we got your voice was recognized in an elevator.
Yeah,
this girl out of nowhere turned to us and goes, oh my god, are you X-rated? Because she recognized your voice.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And
yeah,
I was like, hold on, and I got stickers out. I was like, you're so, like, I was more freaking out than I think she was.
We gave her like a big hug. We're like, we're witch famous. What? I mean, I don't know about that, but it was very cool to be recognized. Was she in the Hecate thing with us, or was she just in the elevator?
That one that was in the hotel suite.
Yeah. It was so great. Oh my God. I just got up there and said some crazy shit. I remember that. Good times. Okay. Let's see. Another one that I wrote down was, I know you're going to be like, but I think you'll be okay. The Wasteland stuff. I love it. I'm so entranced and excited to hear about like this whole other world where people do cool ass shit. And like the mushroom thing was great. And then the ritual you did on the first one in Oklahoma. I love those episodes. I don't know. Those are just my favorite.
I mean, I know that as someone who consumes witch content, I love to, and this goes back to why we love Pantheacon and other conventions, is I just really like hearing about what other people are doing in ritual, because that's not something that you ordinarily get to be privy to, you know, you have to kind of know people. These aren't things that are super, super public. In some cases they're secret or, you know, kind of oath bound. So getting to sample all these different styles of magic and styles of ritual and all of that, like it's just something that is always a treat. And so I'm glad that I know I like that content. So I had a good time sharing that. And if you go back and if you're curious about that episode, a lot of what we discuss is sort of what I learned from various Pantheacons of what public rituals worked and didn't work. And it was the first time I ever did a kind of semi-public ritual that involved more than three or four people and involved people I didn't know. So, which is a challenge, you know, and it also involved people that were not necessarily pagan or witchy or anything. So the planning going into that, was pretty intense. But I think it all turned out really well. So there's a lot of, if you are interested in, leading a ritual for a group of any size, it might have some interesting stuff in there for you, or at least my thoughts on the topic. So yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed that.
I love it.
The one that I really liked was, there was one where you interviewed Mr. Blackbird about tattooing, and it was so much fun. And I hope it was as enjoyable to other people as it was to me, because obviously I know Mr. Blackbird, but he's just so funny, and he's such
a... He has a lovely speaking voice, doesn't he?
He does. And he's very hilarious and very, very serious about his craft. I always love it when people nerd out about the thing that they love, and it gets me excited that they're excited. And it's also funny because he's not someone who would consider himself overtly witchy, but he is an artist. So he knows you. So it's funny how that kind of bleeds in around the edges to his practice of the art of tattooing. And the other thing that I will always laugh at is he was talking about like getting memorial tattoos, and he's talking about if you're fresh, if a fresh to death, like the death is fresh in your mind, it's new to you. But he immediately corrects himself and he goes, if you're fresh to death, I mean, not fresh to death.
Oh my God.
Because he's a DJ. Hilarious. And it's just hilarious.
Because now if you say fresh to death, I mean, you could mean two things. Oh my God. Yeah
you could either mean that music and style slaps, or you could mean that you are still very bereaved. About a literal death.
Quite a paradox. I will say that it was very, I did not really have a set of questions like pre-written. I just had some questions in mind that I knew I wanted to ask, like stuff that I thought people would be interested in knowing, and stuff that I may have already known because, you know, I live with them. So I have heard him pontificate on the subject of tattooing quite a bit. But I also just wanted him to, like, describe, because to me, tattooing is another ritual.
Absolutely.
So I think that the tattooer has definite involvement in that, and I wanted to get his perspective on it. So, yeah, it was really fun to do.
Right.
I was a little nervous, but it was fun.
Well, and we've talked about our own tattoos and the meaning that we got designing them or receiving them and everything. So I thought the perspective of the tattooer, who may or may not, probably not, have a connection to the client, might not have a connection to the art, but has a respect for the fact that that is significant to this person. And then this person is exchanging money for something that's going to be on them permanently. So I think the artist's ability to take all comers seriously and invest that level of care and precision and solemnity and respect and stuff for the history of tattooing and for the client that's in front of them is very ritualized and is a very energetic exchange that's happening, whether you feel it very secularly in just a master of his craft and the client, or, you know, if you want to put these other sort of more spiritual trappings on it. So yeah, it was really interesting to get that perspective.
Yay. That is episode 64. If anybody's looking for episode numbers, I'm kind of trying to look them up as we go. It's kind of right in the middle of the Iceland series. So I think you had to go away for a weekend or something. I was like, well, I'll just talk to Pappy. It'll be fine. Mr. Blackbird, or, you know,
or I think Pappy.
I think we've said Pappy on the show several times. Something that I love doing, and I hope we do more, is just all the versus series.
Yes, that was on my list. It's actually two episodes after that, the High Priestess versus Empress. And I think that was the first versus series that we did that kicked it off.
Yes. Yeah. I think so, too. Yeah, because we started doing, like, Extraordinary Witches, but we hadn't really done Verses yet. And so now we've done several, and I really, really, I love doing that because there's so much, and it's not really Verses. I mean, we're just doing, like, compare and contrast, kind of. So, but, yeah, the Empress and High Priestess was, I mean, clearly our faves because that's us. So, super fun.
Yeah, that was a really fun one. That's episode 66. We also did the bad cards, which I really liked doing.
Yeah, that was fun. That is Hermit and Hangman.
We did Hermit and Hangman, and then we did
Death, Devil, and Tower. Rocks.
Yeah, that was my other favorite one that we did. I have episode 77. We did Obsidian versus Black Tourmaline. And that was actually part of a quad. We did Jet and Onyx as well, which was super informative to me because I've worked with all of those stones. But it was just good an education for me to just lay out all the stuff I know about them and compare and contrast them. Because there's a lot of overlap. But then, you know, given that there is a lot of overlap, when would you use each one? What are the actual differences in terms of the stone itself, the geology and chemistry involved, and also the kind of witchiness or vibes of those? So I thought that that was really fun. And I feel like that's a, I know that as a goth witch, my wanting black crystals is
pretty
high on my list. So
pretty serious. The thing we all want. It's true. Yeah, I loved that series. Something that has been very popular with our listeners is the Hexing and Cursing episode, which I think is episode 69. Is that right? Here, I'm gonna look at, make sure I'm right. No, 69 is Trance Induction, but that is popular as well. I think Hexing and Cursing is in the way back machine. But yeah, I mean, anytime we talk about Hexing and Cursing, it's a good time because I think it's such a thing where people are so like, oh, we shouldn't talk about that. Love and light, love and light. Fuck that. We are here to tell you that is not the case.
Yes.
We feel very strongly.
On that topic, I was
is now the time.
I was at this weekend thing on this ranch. It was my friend's uncle's birthday, and so it was a bunch of their friends. And at one point, I forget, it was like some kind of icebreaker question game or something, and it was like, "What do you hope you won't have in like 10 years or something?" And someone said like my period or whatever, and I was like, you know, I kind of like having blood on tap. And they were like, what? And I was like, you know, like for witchcraft, if I need to curse somebody. And they were like, you do that? And I was like, yes.
Yes, I do. Not all the time, but when needed.
Yeah,
that's episode 12, so I was right. That's in the way back machine.
But yeah, I think the other thing is, I think that a lot of people are very hesitant to talk about that. Certainly, like when I was growing up in the 90s, there was a big push to try to kind of mainstream paganism and witchcraft and really be like, no, we're because this was in the wake of the Satanic Panic. So people were really trying to push this idea of, no, we're not
white witch.
We're not Satanists. Not that there's anything wrong with being a Satanist.
No.
First of all, and you know, it's like, we worship nature and we don't do black magic, which historically is completely inaccurate. And so I think not trying to whitewash that aspect of the craft. And honestly, like if witchcraft isn't for hexing, I mean, what else is it for when you get down to it? I mean, the whole idea of being a witch, you know, purposely or, you know, through your actions getting labeled by other people, you are othering yourself. You are acting outside the normal traditions of your religion and your culture. and right. you are resorting to witchcraft because the normal means of seeking justice or reparations is not available to you, whether it's because you are economically disadvantaged or because you're a woman or because you are a person of color or any tons of reasons.
Name. Yeah. Yeah. Name it, right.
You know, it's any reason why you are being oppressed and you right. you cannot rely on your community to have your back. You can't rely on the
traditional methods, the to, yeah.
law enforcement,
politics,
or yeah, your family
right.
or
right.
You know, the medical complex, you know, it all of it.
All
so,
of those things. Right.
So, yeah, I think that that's one thing that's kind of different about our take on a lot of stuff is that I'm not big on really debating the morality of stuff because no. I feel like it's a very case by case basis. So making right. big blanket statements of you should or should not do things is not, I mean, you're not going to make a very accurate statement. You're just creating, you know, you really need to do it case by case, person by person. And moreover, like I said, historically, that's a big part of witchcraft. So to pretend like that is not the case, I think is very disingenuous.
Is yeah, washing it down a little, or diluting mm-hmm. the purpose for sure. Yeah. Okay. That's what I have. Well, and then magical tools is always fun to talk about. I mean, I love to talk about all of my stuff I have that I use for ritual or for just like solitary practice. I have a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, just even little tiny things that people don't think are significant. Like I may use a key in most of my things I do, like, you know, all of them. So, you know, just like tiny things that you might not think of that you don't think, oh, I use this for my witchcraft purposes, but you probably do.
Right.
You know, like mundane things that you may not think of.
Yeah. No, I think the thing that's so much fun about those is, and what I get out of it and what I hope other people get out of it is that, I mean, yeah, you might learn about a tool or different ways to use a specific tool, but more importantly, like it just gets you brainstorming. You're like, oh,
right.
shit, like that reminds me of this other thing, or that makes me think of this other thing that I use that is unrelated but is used in the same way. Or like, oh, what if I have this thing in my repertoire and I start using it in this other way? Like just the idea that like hearing how other people are doing it
right.
is very inspiring to me. Even if I'm not planning on replicating what they're doing, it usually gets my brain thinking of other ideas. So
well,
that's always really
I think
we need to do
thing-
a new one of those because I have some new things that I use a lot now that I don't think we've talked about.
Same. And I think the other great thing that those episodes are good for is to really bring home the fact that shit does not have to cost money, y'all. You know, like you do not have to go buy like the most fanciest knife or the best XYZ, you know, you literally can find something that you already use in your house and just repurpose it or use it already for magic. Like, for example, I have this very special spoon. That sounds so goofy. Special spoon that Jay gave me. And it's this beautiful, like, wooden spoon that has this crazy crooked, like, Baba Yaga handle. It's so cool. And it's this dark red wood that I rub oil into, and I use it for only one purpose, and that is to mix up the flour that I use to make my starter or to feed my starter with. And that is its one purpose, and it knows its magic. Like, and when I do it, it's like a process because you only mix those together like when you're out of 2 5-pound bags, which it takes, I mean, that takes a while to go through if you're just giving something like 25 grams of flour every other day. It takes a while to go through 10 pounds of flour. So it's kind of like an event. So I love talking about that spoon, and I hope she's listening because I don't think she knows how much that spoon means to me. But like, I have lots of things like that that people have given me that I use for a specific, to me, magical purpose. So I think it's really neat to think about stuff that maybe you've gotten from friends.
Yeah, or just stuff around, like, you know, you know, a teacup, like something you already have that you devote to a purpose, or like like the other day we were talking about, I like finding busted ass pennies in the street that like are non-fungible anymore because they're like so scratched up. They don't look like money. But like, so things that you can just find that are free,
right?
That you can do magic with. And I also like busting the myth that like the old, like, Gardnerian set of Wiccan altar tools of like a bowline and a besom. And first of all, you don't need to use archaic language to describe your tools. You can call it a fucking broom or a knife. It doesn't have to be like an athame or whatever.
Right.
So using arcane language does not impart
make it more
it
mystical.
Doesn't make it more magical or more useful unless you just like the affectation of that, which I totally do because I'm a snob and I'm fancy, but also the idea that it doesn't have to be something that is only used for that task necessarily. Like, I think your story with the spoon is great because it's a very unique spoon that you use for a very specific task. But on the flip side, most cunning folk that were just working out of their cottage, all their tools were dual purpose.
I could use that spoon for all kinds of shit.
Right.
Exactly.
It's not some like perfect little dainty thing that is really only for show. You know, your cauldron was the cauldron that you're also like cooking in.
Made
you
food
know?
In and everything.
Your broom is also the broom that you're sweeping with.
Right.
One, because not everybody has the luxury of having just fun little tools that have no functional purpose. Two, it's stuff that's hiding in plain sight. If you don't have the luxury of being transparent or open about your practice because there are people that are not cool with it and it's not safe for you or it's not comfortable for you, you know, which is a legitimate reason, you know, then you can easily disguise these things as everyday objects. So
that is a great point.
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah let's see.
Well,
you got more?
The other more recently, I've really liked talking about some movies that we love. We did in episode 73 we did The Witch. And episode 94, we did the classic Suspiria versus the new Suspiria, which was also really, really fun. I like that because those are kind of witch adjacent movies. It's not like we did The Craft, although we totally could talk about that. We
totally could.
But they're kind of offbeat indie movies. But I love talking to you about them because I think we have a similar aesthetic, but like...
Yeah.
We come at it slightly different. So
yes,
it's always fun to get your perspective on stuff. And I think that we kind of hone in on different elements. You know, I'm always going to come in with like the costume accuracy.
I rely on you. And I think what's interesting for me when I talk to you about movies, especially movies like the original Suspiria and even the new one that has a very specific color palette, I love talking to you about what directorial choices people make with color palette because, look, I'm not a director, but I find people's choices fascinating and I know it means something and I want to like resolve the mystery of what their fucking color choices mean. And so that's super fun because, you know, when I saw the original Suspiria, I was like, yeah, that is so jarring. But then to hear your perspective on it, it's like, well, now I actually fucking appreciate it because these colors are symbolic of what's going on in the movie. And it just makes so much more sense talking to you just because of your background. So in fashion and whatnot, and just all the things you've studied in art and fashion. So
thank you.
Well,
and what's funny is these are movies that we actually never watched together. I don't
that's
think
that's right.
You
no.
know, like
nope.
they're just movies that we
oh,
both.
Oh, we saw The Witch together.
Okay. Did we?
We saw it in the theater.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We were all
but,
just like,
but clearly enwrapped. Many, many years removed from when we actually went and talked about it. So
yes. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I'm very excited. Well, I think to
I've watched it many times since then. Things too.
With you at some point.
Oh, when can't wait. Oh my god.
When it's not in the theater anymore, and we give people a chance to not have it be spoiled, but
go see it. It is so great.
It's very good. I love it very much.
It's great. Oh, and I mean the Godzilla movie too.
Oh just, yeah, like, Godzilla minus one
broke my mind open. It was so good. That's not, like
not
the best
specifically witchy, but we can talk about. I mean,
no, but that's like the best Godzilla movie I have ever seen.
I know. I feel like I'm being hyperbolic, so and no, I mean not that I've seen every single Godzilla movie, but I have seen a lot
You've
of
seen
kaiju
way more than
movies,
me. Yeah.
And it, I would also agree that this was probably great. The best one. So
it was really fucking good.
I
not
wanted
witchy,
to
but
shout out some. Yes. We have done some other kind of 101 episodes where in episode 18 we kind of just introduce ourselves and talk about our individual practices, and that is called Which Witches Are We? And then in episode 30 and 28 we did some Q&A, so some questions from listeners and just some also some stuff that we got through various social medias and stuff like that. So
well, and if you want to go back to the origin, there is a episode number 7, which is the original Which Witches Are We.
Okay, yeah.
So you can hear all four of us, or three of us at the time. I think it was just me, you, and Lily. And then Jay joins us later. But yeah, we've done a couple of those. That might be a good one to have. Again, I mean, we talked about doing that for this, like, 101 is going to be, we're going to be like us 101, hex rated 101, which this is kind of, we're kind of doing a, like a more rounded out version of that, I think, just by kind of pointing people toward some of our episodes that they might get a better flavor for us if they just recently joined. So rather than just me sitting here telling you what I'm about, you can go listen to other things and kind of find out at least what I used to be about a few years ago. I don't know. I think I'm changing all the time. So that's super fun.
One of the ones I liked that was recent, I need to look up the number, but when we went completely off the rails and I made so much fun of the Christian Halloween shit on OrientalTradingCompany.com.
Dude, it's here. It's like it's recent because we just it was just Halloween. Yes, it is called, hold on, Halloween. It would be nice if it was called Halloween. Is it The Reason for the Season?
I think so, yes.
October 4th, A Reason for the Season? That sounds like it might be.
Yeah.
Or,
I don't know.
Yes, it is. Halloween. Oh shit. Yeah, that's it.
I know that our humor is not for everyone, but I think that it's fun and refreshing to be snarky and bitchy and
sometimes
make
yes.
fun of ridiculous stuff. And you know, I don't
indeed.
I feel like not all things deserve my respect and care and understanding. And I think it's
Amen.
Fun to make fun of shit. To that yes. end, I don't know if we're actually going to do this, but I would love to tease our epic takedown of so-called light workers and also light language. Because we had really funny conversation the other day. Do you want to tease it?
Yeah, tease it. No, yeah, tease it. So we were talking, I don't know, I ran across like a person that I follow that I actually like most of the things this person says. But they call themselves a light worker. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, you know, like, sorry. But like, I don't like that phrase. I think it doesn't mean anything. I think it is. It's part of the whole we must eschew anything that is angry and we must only talk about things that are good and pure and light and loving. And that's great. And I am not saying that, you know, don't lead with love. Of course, lead with love. But sometimes you need to lead with something else. And I would never, I don't, it's just never a name that I would pick for myself, light worker. So we were thinking, like, what could actually be a light worker rather than a light worker? So we
like
just started
someone
naming.
Someone who works at a tanning salon or an aesthetician that does, like, photo facials.
Someone that works with photosynthesis,
or like someone who develops film.
So someone who works in a lighting showroom. An electrician.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone that will sell you a chandelier.
Yeah. So we were just literally naming all kinds of professions that would actually be
people that work with actual literal light.
People that work with light. Yes. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there that is, I mean, I don't want to call people charlatans, but do I? Yes. Kind of do. I do think there are a lot of people that claim to have mystical and magical powers that want your money, plain and simple. And you know, look, I get it. We're in hard times. Everybody's hurting. Shit's expensive. I get it. And I'm not saying I would never do anything. Whoa, I would never do anything for money. Wait, I would do anything for money? Hold on. I'm not saying I wouldn't do anything magical not for money. Like, I might, but I also don't know that I would want to make a... I'm not calling out people that do make a living doing magic and speaking or doing stuff like that. But I do think there is a definite like plagiaristic element for certain people out there that are just, they're not after your best interests. That's right. All I'm going to say.
Yeah. No, I think the bottom line is that I think that people should absolutely be compensated fairly for their time and expertise.
Yes, of course.
And plenty of people can be an honest salesperson and, you know, do energy work or do witchcraft or do divination for people and be compensated for their time and expertise.
Right.
Like, I'm not fundamentally opposed to that. But the problem is money has a lot of icky feelings about it. Capitalism is, it has a lot of icky things about it. And, there are people that are very disingenuous. Also, I think the other thing is that it kind of sets up a power disparity. If someone is the expert, someone is the teacher, someone is the gatekeeper.
Right. Yeah, that's not my jam.
The consumer is not those things. And that I object to very much.
Yeah, wholeheartedly. Well, I mean, clearly that's not what we're about at all.
No, I think you should take everybody with a grain of salt. I think you should take us with a grain of salt. I think that the fun... the levity of something where we're going off on stupid Halloween accoutrement is snarky and funny. But I think at the end of the day, that element of skepticism and irreverence and not treating everything as though everything has an equal relevance everything, it has an equal two sides of the story. I don't believe that. You know, I think that we should be critical of stuff, and I think that if people are behaving badly or ignorantly, that it's not doing anyone any favors by pretending otherwise. So I mean, I love it when I hear or read a really no holds barred review of stuff. And we've definitely done that in the newsletter and on the podcast. You know, I am very effusive if I love something, but I am like pretty brutal if I'm not a fan, but not for the sake of being mean. You know,
for the sake of being real.
Well,
I mean...
and it's meant as constructive criticism most of the time. You know, the books I've reviewed on the newsletter and stuff that I totally eviscerated, I hope that if the person that wrote those books ever reads it, that it will help their future endeavors. You know, I went to art school twice. I was an English major, so I dish it out, but I've had to take it too. So.
Oh yeah. I recall. Yes, many a tearful session in college. Yeah. But you know, right? Like, it's not like we're also what I was gonna say, not susceptible to criticism as well.
Oh yeah.
But we definitely. I mean, we definitely try to
send us your hate mail.
Yes, send us your hate mail. But also, like, we try to be as accessible as possible. And I mean, that sounded weird. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to like act like an expert in anything that we talk about. I don't know that I am, but I know that I want to share what I know with people. That's why we even ever wanted to do this in the first place. I mean, the fact that we get to get together and talk about shit is super fun. But we clearly felt like we had something to share with people that we kind of wish somebody would have shared with us at some point.
Yeah. And not to be like a how to, but be like, this is how right. I do stuff. If that is inspiring to you, or like we were saying earlier, if that gets your creative juices flowing, like that's kind of the point. It's awesome. Just like, here's some right. examples of how somebody's doing it. And if you think it is fun or exciting and you want to try it, or if it inspires you to do something else, like that's the point. Or conversely, if you're like, that sounds like a terrible idea, I don't want to do that, so I can now officially cross that off my list, you know, I think right. that's also helpful. So yeah, so that's kind of what we're all about here at Hex Rated. We are not yeah. purporting to be experts. We're just telling you how we do stuff in case right. that is helpful to you in terms of generating ideas or confirming that you do not want to do it like that.
That too. Yeah. That's a great way to say thank you for listening.
Yes.
Yeah. So thank you for listening.
And 100 more.
100 more. It will not take us 8 years, because now we're at a decent clip. We had a little bit of a hiatus this past week or so, but we'll get back on track. I mean, again, we're not monetizing anything, so it's kind of like, well, we'll do it when we can. It's all good.
But yeah, send us your hate mail, and also like, let us know which episodes you liked or wanted more of, yeah. or which ones you thought were a total snooze or didn't.
Yeah,
we're off the mark. We would like to know.
Currently, probably the easiest way for us to actually receive messages from you is Instagram. That's probably where that's where I am most active. Do you still look at yes, Facebook messages?
I do. Yeah, okay. Sometimes.
Excellent. Great. So we are Facebook on messages or
Facebook.
Yes. Facebook is, I think it's We Three Witches, maybe. Instagram, we are Hex Rated.
No.
Maybe. We are Hex Rated Witches on Instagram. That I do know. I usually am able to answer those things. We do have there is a Facebook group. If you look up Hex Rated, it is a Facebook group that you can join. There are other people maybe still there. Hopefully. I think at one time there's 888 people signed up, so you can interact with all 888 of them if you wish. We post there occasionally. I haven't posted there in a long time because I kind of left Facebook for other for nothing. I left Facebook for the woods. I don't know. I think it is
for the Pine Barrens.
For the Pine Barrens, that's true. I'm right on the edge of the piney woods. But yeah, so I mean, and we have email.
We are at hexratedpodcast@gmail.com.
There you go. I don't know that either one of us has checked that in a minute either, but I sure will try. And please, yes, send us some of your favorite episodes. And I think maybe this year, maybe we'll do another Q&A, because that's always yeah. fun to get questions from the audience and try to answer them as best we can. That sounds like a good time to me. But anyway, I think that was fun. Yay. We talked about our favorite shit. Yay. All right. Well, until next time,
hocus pocus, bitches.